Welcome to the Logic Consortium. Today, our show is going to be a little bit of a compilation of interviews that we've done about the subject of immigration. We're playing an interview that we did with Raul Hinojosa Ojeda about an article that he wrote about the subject of immigration reform and its potential effects on economics.
You have to understand, immigration is, again, driven by the demand in the United States.
And then we're going to be playing you part of an interview that we did with Professor Hiroshi Motomura, a legal immigration historian. And we're going to be talking about some of his global long-term solutions that he sees to the present predicament. So stick around. It should make for an informative 25 minutes of discussion on immigration. Thanks so much for listening. Professor Hinojosa, one of the main things that you talk about in your article is the enormous amount of resources that we spend on immigration enforcement. On Border Patrol alone, you guys cite in the article that since 1992, along the southwest border, the Border Patrol agents have gone up in number from 3,500 to 17,000. But yet, you guys can you and another professor conclude that tightened border enforcement since 1993 has not stopped nor even discouraged migrants from coming in, from entering the country. Can you talk about this?
Well, what's it's really unprecedented because it's not only the personnel; it's also tens of billions of dollars in walls and physical wall structures, which are basically the net result of which has been to not stop undocumented immigration, which has been absolutely determined by the economic demand in the United States. So in effect, what we're seeing is that we have gone from what used to cost about $300 per person in terms of apprehensions to now more than $3,500 per apprehension. So we're actually getting dramatically less efficient and more costly in terms of essentially doing the same type of enforcement in real effects in terms of people who are apprehended, even though we're spending a lot more money. And in the end of the day, what our research has been showing is that not only has enforcement become extremely expensive, the only real effect of it has been to push workers in the United States further underground, actually cheapening wages for the undocumented and ironically making them more attractive to employers. So the enforcement-only approach over the last 20 years, which has just gotten by leaps and bounds more and more money thrown in its direction, has not only resulted in much more expensive apparatus, which has not solved the problem, but on the contrary, has only succeeded in pushing the flows of workers further underground and actually probably deepening our dependence, many communities throughout the United States, on a workforce that can't defend itself. And so what we've been saying is that now is the time. We cannot continue going down the same path, because that's usually what Congress, whenever immigration issues are brought up, the only thing that they do is pour more money down the same rat hole that is actually not only becoming less efficient, but actually digging us deeper into the hole. We need a new direction. We need to go towards a path of legalization. We need to go towards a path of moving workers out of the shadows, making them be able to defend themselves on an even playing field with all workers. That helps all workers, and that's why we did this study to show the overall dynamics of what would happen when we did legalization, and which was released by the Center for American Progress and UCLA about a month and a half ago.
You are listening to the Logic Consortium. This is your host Briskovich, and we're replaying an interview that we did with Raul Hinojosa Ojeda in early 2010 about an article that he wrote for the Center for American Progress on the economic prospects of comprehensive immigration reform. And now he's going to talk to us about how he really used the 1986 reform as kind of the framework, and what he thinks we should use from the 1986 reform, the big immigration law that was passed in 1986, and what he thinks should change from that law. So let's hear what he has to say.
What we did is that we started from asking, okay, what is the best policy approach given all the alternatives right now? So one thing we did, we went back to 1986 when bipartisan Congress and Ronald Reagan signed the Immigration Reform and Control Act of 1986, which legalized most of the undocumented that were in the United States at that time. The results of that are quite interesting. The Department of Labor looked at the before and after impacts of that. And the most striking impact was that wages among the recently legalized went up. And actually, wages among native workers went up even more during this period of time. So we went and studied, well, what was causing this? Why did this happen? And what would be the impact of doing this again? And essentially what we found is that workers that had been here, these are all surveys done by the Department of Labor showed this, that had been here for over 10 years back then, which is the same as of now, they were seeing their real wages decline as they are now. And it, right after legalization, in the first 3 years, their wages went up by 15 to 20%, even more so for women. And because they were able to walk off the jobs of the worst-paying sweatshop employers, for example, or say that we demand better wages because now they can report them to the OSHA, and essentially dry up the demand for this very exploitative situation. The other thing that we saw is that the workers themselves, once they got legalized, have a completely different ability to also commit to their future in the United States, to have their own expenditure in health, in their own health care, and in their own, very interestingly, of education. They started spending a lot of money on English language, on GED, on worker training, which made them more productive. So the economy was able to not only have a big increase of wages at the bottom of the pyramid, if you will, but also much more productive ability to contribute to the overall economy of the United States. And what we did is ask the question, well, what would happen if we did this now? What would be the impact, given the presence of undocumented workers, where we know they are in the labor market, where they are in the United States, if we were to do the same type of legalization, at least in terms of bringing people out of the shadows? But unlike IRCA, which didn't have a future flow of legalization going forward, we also are now saying, like the Gutierrez bill out of Chicago, well, what happens if we not only legalize immigrants who are here, but also create a legal path so that if the economy needs immigrants, which we know the economy will need immigrants, that we would all be better off that they come here legally. And that's what we look at over 10 years. What we saw is that the economic benefit to the U.S. economy of legalizing the people who are here now and making sure that all future immigrants come in legally would raise economic activity in the United States by over $1.5 trillion over the next 10 years. That's a big number, $1.5 trillion. And that's what people really don't understand about this, that immigration definitely helps the U.S. economy, and it helps everybody in the U.S. economy. It helps because we all depend one way or the other on goods and services of immigrants, and the future structure of the U.S. economy is going to depend on them even more. It's much better that we bring them in legally rather than sticking them in the shadows, low-wage situation where we don't let them contribute fully as they can into the U.S. economy.
You just touched on it, but one of the failures you mentioned of the 1986 reforms was that they failed to set flexible legal limits for the number of workers that were allowed in and out. Can you talk about how we need flexible legal limits that are capable of responding to the ups and downs in the economy, and why this is so important, and in 1986, failure to do it.
Right, exactly. 1986 basically was a political compromise which punted the issue that everybody knows is really critical, and now 20 years later even more critical, is that the economy needs immigrants. And in fact, that's what is a huge strength of the U.S. economy, that we still attract the best and the brightest, very productive immigrants into the economy. But we do that in a way that we basically forced them to come here, a vast majority of them, to come here as undocumented. And that what we're showing is that that's a vicious cycle. And what is being proposed now in Congress, in the Gutierrez bill, is that there would be a mechanism for identifying what we all know is there, the level of the demand for immigrants, and making sure that we create the legal paths to make sure that the workers that are needed are brought here legally. Now, there's a very interesting dynamic that happens after legalization, which we saw in 1986, which we've seen in many parts around the world, and we expect to happen here. Ironically, when you legalize the undocumented, when you do away with this path of bringing in people here illegally, the actual needs, the demand for the undocumented in the U.S. economy by employers actually goes down. Why? Because their wages go up. We have now really made it the law of the land that immigrants come here and they have the rights as any other worker, so then they can't be exploited, super exploited, and therefore have employers start demanding a lot of the undocumented versus someone who's legally here, right? That's what we saw happen after 1986. For the first 5 years after IRCA, Immigration Reform and Control Act, actually undocumented immigration crossings along the U.S.-Mexican border, apprehensions along the U.S.-Mexican border, they all plummeted, all right? The immigration went down because essentially it was not that easy for employers to hire easily exploitable workers anymore. And that's what we're fully expecting to happen here again. You know, they have to understand immigration is, again, driven by the demand in the United States. If we change the legal conditions under which the wage relationship between immigrants and employers is done, if we make sure that they come here with legal rights and be able to demand higher wages, basically what happens is that employers will demand less of these easily exploitable class which we've created right now. And we are all better off for that, because we have people that not only have higher wages, higher consumption for the economy, and higher productivity, ways in which you force the employers to make sure that if they're going to pay a worker a higher wage, that worker has to be more productive, and that benefits us all. That this is where we have to move towards a 21st century future of how we bring workers into the country.
Can you give us examples of how immigration reform would help the U.S. economy?
We've been studying the impact of giving rights to the undocumented, and how does that help the economy? It actually ends up helping all types of people in the economy. It helps particularly low-wage workers in the economy, because essentially we change the dynamic, which is right now a dynamic where it really we've given the strength over to the employer that says, well, you know, I'd rather hire undocumented because I can exploit them easier. And then that actually lowers or creates a preference for hiring certain types of workers rather than Latinos and African Americans that are legal. We want to do away with that. We want to do away with that actual subsidy that we give to employers to easily exploit a certain class of workers. The other thing that happens is that what we know, and now 20 years later, we've actually done here at UCLA a project called the IRCA Stories. What happens 20 years later once people get legalized? And it's absolutely fascinating. You see people working in a cash economy, rental, scared to death, not having wage increases. legalization not only immediately increases their wages and their productivity, but over time, over the next 10, 20, 15 years, 20 years, we see this incredible ability for them to become homeowners, to be able to maintain bank accounts, to send their kids to college, all of these things in terms of joining and creating economic mainstreams that revitalize communities all over that at one point were really poor when immigrants were brought in and easily exploitable. And once those immigrants are let out, really creates a grassroots up economic development boom. And we fully expect this to happen again here. And the thing is that now it helps particularly the big cities, okay, which is where a lot of the undocumented are concentrated. That's where we see the biggest economic impacts occurring. But we're beginning to see it all over the place. There are communities throughout the United States, even rural communities, that would not survive were it not for immigration. And again, we'd be better off if those workers are also coming in fully legal and ready to integrate themselves completely and contribute as much as they could to the overall economy.
So you're arguing for the need for immigration reform from a moral standpoint and from an economic standpoint and saying that it could be a benefit for many people, not only the immigrants.
Absolutely. I mean, we're talking now, we have, you know, more than 10 million undocumented. No other industrialized society in the world, you know, has this type of indentured servitude inside their borders. I at UCLA, we now have kids who have basically grown up here as little toddlers who are still undocumented, and they struggle to get into the universities, and they want to contribute. They want to be able to really be a part of the economic mainstream. It'd be, and all of our benefits, not only to economically to do this, but, you know, we have to get back to the rule of law and a moral basis of how the our labor markets work. Because right now we have a essentially a winking and a nodding, pretending that, you know, we don't have a problem, but we have a major problem creating a great deal of suffering. And what this study shows is that it makes absolutely no sense from an economic point of view to do that. The benefits are there. And our enforcement-only strategy is actually spending billions and billions of dollars to only make things worse, to ironically lead us further down this vicious cycle where we force more and more employers to start turning to this type of undocumented shadow labor market. You know, it's the other thing we show in the study is that some people will say, well, you know, the answer is simple. Let's just, you know, deport the undocumented, and that will be an economic benefit for the United States. What we show is that that's absolutely not the case, either historically or in any type of analysis that we've been doing in terms of how the local impact of raids are, is that it actually makes things even worse economically. If we were to deport the 10 million undocumented, first of all, it cost hundreds of billions of dollars to even try to do that. But the economic negative impact on the U.S. economy, we estimate to be $2.6 trillion over the next 10 years. It literally makes the current crisis mild in comparison. We would plunge ourselves into a depression if we were to take this type of an attitude of going down even further this path of breaking apart communities and throwing out workers. By the way, this was tried during the Great Depression, 1929 to 1932. The United States deported over a million workers. That is during exactly the time where the U.S. was falling down a huge hole, and that actually raised unemployment, by close to 30%. And this actual deportations contributed to that economic decline. Interestingly enough, when Roosevelt came in, he stopped the deportations, and it coincided actually with the beginning of an economic recovery in the United States. We think that the same type of thing will happen now, and we can do immigration reform. This is the right time to do immigration reform. It immediately creates stimulus at the bottom of the pyramid allows people to contribute more, spend more, generate economic growth, and creates the basis for a more not only efficient future economic recovery, but a more moral and a more just one as well.
You are listening to the Logic Consortium and are patching together of a couple of interviews that we did on immigration in 2010. Now we're going to kind of shift. We're going to shift to our interview with Professor Hiroshi Motomura, and we're going to be talking about the from a historical perspective the current politics surrounding the immigration debate, kind of the back and forth. So let's hear what he has to say on that.
The unfortunate thing about the politics of this is that there's so much political heat on the legalization question or the amnesty question. You know, one side says that it's really essential and you really need to have it. The other side says, basically, over my dead body, that this is just amnesty. I'm just afraid that the people who are for legalization are not going to get as much out of it as they want, because what will happen is you'll legalize people, and then you're not really fixing anything, and then, you know, 10 or 15 years from now, we'll face the same issues. And on the other side, the people who are opposed to legalization, I don't think they realize that actually limited legalization has been fairly commonplace throughout American history. So it's like one side is, you know, both sides are fighting over something that is not really the issue, I think. It's drawn a lot of political heat. I'm not sure really, I don't think it deserves the political heat. I think it's much less radical than the opponents make it out to be. That is, legalization is not as radical as opponents make it out to be. But I also think the lasting benefits are not as profound or as lasting as some other ways of thinking about immigration law. I know that's a long answer, but I mean, that's basically the idea, and that's why I think the politics has a little gotten heated to the point where people aren't talking about long-term solutions.
So what are some global long-term solution proposals that you suggest?
Well, a couple of things. I mean, one is that there's clearly a demand in the U.S. economy for workers who are not able to come to the country legally right now. I mean, people often say, well, why don't they just come legally? Well, it turns out that there are not a lot of avenues for people to come to this country to do certain kinds of work. And it's work that seems to be very much in demand in this country. So, you know, one of the things that I think needs to happen is to have a better match between the economy and the needs of the economy and the available workforce. I think that means that there should be more legal ways to come to this country to do work that does not require a college degree. That's one thing. The second thing is that I think there's a lot of attention paid to the fact that there are Americans who've been here for generations and who are in a position of being displaced sometimes by immigrant workers. And you know, I think that immigration creates wealth in this country, but I think that a lot of it doesn't go to the benefit of the people who might be finding themselves in competition with immigrant workers. So you know, I think that a lot of what we associate with the consequences of immigration is really a sad comment on the American educational system. In other words, if Americans feel that they're being displaced by immigrant laborers who have very little education, then that's really a sad comment on the fact that we've done very badly by the Americans who've been displaced. So that's solution, you know, number two is to take the educational mission of this country much more seriously for the people who are already here. And the third thing, and maybe another quite global thing, is that I think one of the reasons that we have so much migration outside, you know, legal avenues into this country is people feel they no longer have a viable economic life in Mexico and other parts of Latin America particularly. And I think that it would be expensive, but a very worthwhile investment for the United States to adopt more like a European Union solution, which is to invest in the Mexican economy and help build up the Mexican economy so people have jobs there. Because I don't think Mexicans fundamentally would want to co- come to the United States in anywhere near the numbers that we have now, except for the fact that a lot of the Mexican economy has fallen apart in the last half generation or so. Those are three things I think are much more basic. And if you don't do anything about, you know, how we educate Americans, if you don't do anything about the Mexican economy, and you don't do anything about giving American employers some kind of access to legal workforce, then you know, you can legalize people, you cannot legalize people. And it's not really going to do a lot of good in the long term. I don't want to gloss lightly over the fact that you have a lot of human issues, and it's really important. And there's a lot of human hardship involved, and it'll be ameliorated by legalization. And I don't want to downplay that. I think that's really important. But I think it's important to think about this. What kind of conversation are we going to have in the year, 2030 or year 2040? I don't want there to be a situation where we said, well, we fixed things. We look like we fixed things in the year 2010, but actually we're having the same conversation in 2030 that we had in 2010 because we didn't really do anything about the Mexican economy.
Aside from economics, can you address some of the objections that people make to legalization or amnesty? One is that it will encourage future immigration.
Yeah, I mean, I think that there's this idea, and there are a lot of objections to legalization or amnesty. I mean, one is that is what you mentioned, which is that people think it will encourage illegal immigration. I think that I have a couple thoughts about that. I mean, one is that there are a lot of empirical studies that talk about, or investigate why people come to this country. And people come to this country, I think principally for work. They may come to, in a more general sense, of making a better life for their children. And, of course, that's related to work, too. I think that the idea that that they would be given amnesty or legalization somewhere down the road is so remote. And so far down the list of reasons that whether or not there's a legalization is whether there is legalization or not is not going to influence the number of people who come to this country. The other studies show that people, even though a lot of them end up staying, a lot of people come to this country in order to work and go home. And so the idea that I think it's absurd to think that people in that situation will be influenced by the possibility that Congress will do something, 5 years down the road. I think that what's really going on when people say that it will incentivize people to come to this country, I think what they're really talking about is not an empirical incentive, but people who take that position are just troubled that this appears to endorse lawbreaking. That's a reaction I can understand, but I think it's it's inconsistent with so many studies to think that that the possibility of an amnesty down the road is going to influence someone who's coming here to work for a short time to earn money sent home.
And a lot of the workers feel like they're being displaced.
Yeah, I mean, one thing is something I mentioned earlier, which is that to the extent that it does cause harm, I think that, in other words, if American workers feel displaced, I think the solution is not necessarily to crack down on illegal immigration. The solution is to really look at exactly why those displacements occur. And so if people who have not had the education opportunity, who've been in this country for generations, the solution isn't to keep out people who are adding to overall economic growth in this country. The solution is to do better by those folks who haven't had the education opportunity, who deserve it, who've been here for generations.
And that's been our show today here on the Logic Consortium. Obviously talking about one of our favorite subjects, comprehensive immigration reform, and the need for reform. And we take all sides. If anyone wants to call in or write us an email, visit us at logicconsortium.blogspot.com. And we've debated anti-immigrant folks on this show, and always no ad hominems allowed, trying to listen to their ideas and respond. So I hope everyone's doing well. Have a great day.